It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give before this committee will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you very much. Please be seated. And before you give your statement, I want to say that to everybody that she has asked for any time you ask for a break, you get a break. Anytime there's something that you need you don't have, just ask us. And you can have as much time for your opening statement as you want. And just generally let us know if there's any issues. Proceed, please.
Thank you, Senator Grassley. I think after I read my opening statement, I anticipate needing some caffeine, if that is available.
Okay. Can you pull the microphone just a little bit closer to you, please?
All right, that's enough. And then, so that's the way it started yesterday. That was Chairman Chuck Grassley, the senator from Iowa, who's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, with Christine Blasey Ford. She was sworn in, and of course, the apologetics from Senator Grassley started then from each and every Republican senator, for the most part, and bending over backwards, this is your hearing, whatever you need. I think I need some caffeine. Well, I'm already telling you how I feel about it, right? Okay, so Christine Blasey Ford then proceeded to tell her story. In fact, let's just hear some of that. We should. Here it is. Clip two.
Thank you, Chairman Grassley and Ranking Member Feinstein, members of the committee. My name is Christine Blasey Ford. I am a professor of psychology at Palo Alto University and a research psychologist at the Stanford University School of Medicine. I won't detail my educational background since it has already been summarized.
All right, I'm going to interrupt. That's how she started. I want to go right to where she describes the attack, which is a clip four.
Early in the evening, I went up a very narrow set of stairs leading from the living room to a second floor to use the restroom. When I got to the top of the stairs, I was pushed from behind into a bedroom across from the bathroom. I couldn't see who pushed me. Brett and Mark came into the bedroom and locked the door behind them. There was music playing in the bedroom. It was turned up louder by either Brett or Mark once we were in the room. I was pushed onto the bed, and Brett got on top of me. He began running his hands over my body and grinding into me. I yelled, hoping that someone downstairs might hear me, and I tried to get away from him, but his weight was heavy. Brett groped me and tried to take off my clothes. He had a hard time because he was very inebriated and because I was wearing a one-piece bathing suit underneath my clothing. I believed he was going to rape me. I tried to yell for help. When I did, Brett put his hand over my mouth to stop me from yelling. This is what terrified me the most and has had the most lasting impact on my life. It was hard for me to breathe, and I thought that Brett was accidentally going to kill me.
All right, that's it. You can listen to the rest of it. We're going to post both of these testimonies on our Facebook page, but that, you get the idea, you get the affect, you get her voice, the way she presented herself. And then, of course, the way the questioning went was that the Republicans had deferred their questions to an Arizona expert in sexual crimes who proceeded to sort of do a courtroom interrogation of Christine Ford which did not work very well, I have to say. And the Republican senators gave up their ability to question her. So nothing ever came out about her political affiliations. She's a strong Democrat. She's contributed to Hillary Clinton, to the DNC. She was involved in anti-Trump protests wearing a, you know, the pink hat, the infamous pink hat. No one mentioned anything like that. They presented her as, you have no reason to be here other than just your own bravery, and that's the way they spoke about it. And so each Democratic member of the Judiciary Committee affirmed constantly and praised her for her courage and her loyalty, apologized profusely for all she had suffered, and that's the way the first part of the hearing went. And I have to say, for those of us who have more information, and maybe don't believe her, I'm one of them, it was devastating because the Republicans were just rolled. It was a disaster for Brett Kavanaugh. And when the midday came around and that was over, I have to tell you, I, for one, was just sickened. I was beside myself. And I was also very discouraged because I had prayed so fervently that God would make his presence known in that room in every way. But then lunch happened, and then after lunch, Brett Kavanaugh came to the mic, and I'll just give you a taste of what he said. Let's play clip 12.
States political system of the early 2000s, what goes around comes around. I am an optimistic guy. I always try to be on the sunrise side of the mountain, to be optimistic about the day that is coming. But today, I have to say that I fear for the future. Last time I was here, I told this committee that a federal judge must be independent, not swayed by public or political pressure. I said I was such a judge, and I am. I will not be intimidated into withdrawing from this process. You've tried hard. You've given it your all. No one can question your effort. But your coordinated and well-funded effort to destroy my good name and destroy my family will not drive me out. The vile threats of violence against my family will not drive me out. You may defeat me in the final vote, but you'll never get me to quit. Never. I'm here today to tell the truth.
That was at least a portion of what Brett Kavanaugh had to say. That wasn't his opening statement. At least that was part of it. But that was not the very beginning. In fact, I actually want you to hear the very beginning. But before I play it, you know, I could spend the whole show talking about my thoughts about this. But I don't want to, because I really, really want to know what you thought. What did you think? Do you think Brett Kavanaugh should be confirmed? Did you believe Christine Blasey Ford, unlike me? Did you... Just observations about the senators on either side and what they said and the interactions. I would really be interested in your thoughts, because you are the American people. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And probably not a good thing unless you've watched it. If you didn't watch portions of it, then you know, your comments are probably not relevant. So really, we need you to have some knowledge about this before you can weigh in. I want you to hear Kavanaugh's opening statement. Let's play clip 5.
Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Feinstein, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to make my statement. I wrote it myself yesterday afternoon and evening. No one has seen a draft or it except for one of my former law clerks. This is my statement. Less than 2 weeks ago, Dr. Ford publicly accused me of committing wrongdoing at an event more than 36 years ago when we were both in high school. I denied the allegation immediately, categorically, and unequivocally. All four people allegedly at the event, including Dr. Ford's longtime friend, Ms. Kaiser, have said they recall no such event. Her longtime friend, Ms. Kaiser, said under penalty of felony that she does not know me and does not believe she ever saw me at a party ever.
All right, I'm going to stop him. We could play the whole thing. I wish I could play the whole thing. He goes into the fact that this is nothing more than, this is an out-of-control situation. You have destroyed me, my family. You are destroying this country. And he said this is nothing more than revenge by the a payback to the Clintons, revenge for Donald Trump's election. I mean, he was loaded for bear. And then he said this, which really, really was a moment when we knew God had entered that room the way we prayed he would do. This is clip 13.
I am innocent of this charge. I intend no ill will to Dr. Ford and her family. The other night, Ashley and my daughter Liza said their prayers. And little Liza, all of 10 years old, said to Ashley, we should pray for the woman. It's a lot of wisdom from a 10-year-old. We mean no ill will.
That's when I knew that God was spewing Brett Kavanaugh. You should have heard and seen the hush in that hearing room. You should have seen the faces, because you could see the faces, of people that were his opponents sitting in the background, kind of their expressions changing. You sense that there was a shaming that God does when his presence is there, a silent shaming, a recognition, a coming to Jesus, as it were, for the things that had happened. I want to share one thing with you. There's a lot of practical things to share with you, but this just moved me. I can't even tell you. I have seen this happen repeatedly. I say to my friends in D.C. who are not necessarily serious followers of Jesus, maybe in varying levels, they understand, varying degrees, they don't. Some are Jewish. And I honestly say all the time, this is a spiritual battle. They don't fight back because they see that. The closer you get to this conflict, the more wicked you can see. The inside of it is just brutally wicked. So I want to just say, there is a guy named Roger Simon, who's the founder of PJ Media. I've met Roger. I don't claim to be a friend, close friend, but Roger's been around a long time. He wears a hat. He's quite a character. This is what he wrote. He's a secular Jew. In fact, I'll let him speak for himself. He said, this is the title of his article, God Stalks the Kavanaugh Hearings. Far be it for me, someone who spent the better part of his life as your typical secular agnostic, to talk about God. But that was what I had been thinking about in the hours since I spent my day, as many of us did, watching the Kavanaugh confirmation hearing. I guess it first hit me when Judge Kavanaugh, in the midst of his powerful and heartfelt opening statement, one few expected him to make, choked up, fighting back tears, as he spoke of his 10-year-old daughter's desire to pray for Dr. Ford. I had trouble choking back my own, and it dawned on me as I was watching an event that I thought was political being transformed into a spiritual one. Nothing was as expected. It also dawned on me that whatever the pundits were saying had become irrelevant. The American people were watching now. They would make up their own minds, and I thought I'd never say this. God was looking down on the proceedings. Louisiana Senator Kennedy formally ended them, appropriately enough, by asking Judge Kavanaugh to swear to God that he had never sexually assaulted anyone, and he swore. But I can't let go of my religious theme so quickly. I am Jewish, and trying, as many do as they grow older, to find consolation in my faith. I make no claims for any knowledge or depth in this. I am very much a neophyte, but nevertheless, I was offended, even appalled, by the activists of my co-religionists, Senator Dianne Feinstein and Richard Blumenthal, on the committee. They have shamed our faith by disobeying one of the keystones of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear witness. As I finished typing this, I reached into my wallet, curious to see if the words, in God we trust, were still printed on our money. Frankly, I hadn't bothered to look closely for a long time. Thankfully, they were. That's just part of the piece. It's Roger Simon. God stalks the Kavanaugh hearings. I'm telling you, God is pouring out his spirit in ways we just can't see coming on this country. That doesn't mean victory. This is not over. We've got a vote this morning at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. Then there'll be a full Senate vote unless something happens to stop it. And trust me, they're not going to stop trying to stop this. That will happen Tuesday night at 7. I'm going to come back with your phone calls. You are the American people. What did you think? 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Yeah. Are you still stuck on the healthcare roller coaster? Still paying those high premiums? And strapped into huge deductibles? Not knowing what's around the next turn? Well, then let me tell you about a sound, sensible healthcare choice that really is affordable. It's MediShare, the healthcare sharing solution people like you have been trusting in for more than 25 years. MediShare members report saving around $500 a month on their healthcare costs, and they never pay for things they don't believe in. Time to say goodbye to that healthcare roller coaster and say hello to MediShare.
Call *345 to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call *345. Message and data rates may apply. That's *345.
Have you ever been caught in a raging storm? Often it's those sudden downpours that catch us off guard and leave us miserably soaked. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Anyone who's raised a family has been surprised by the occasional dark clouds or the sudden outburst of emotion. The storm inside the house is often far worse than the rainfall outside the house. So mom, dad, when the tornado strikes, wait it out. Look for ways to be the shelter for your family, a safe harbor in the storm when the winds of adversity blow strong. You can make choices now that will lead your family to safety later. Are you ready to hunker down and survive the storm?
Do you feel like you've come to the end of your rope? Learn how to get your teen back on track with one of Mark Gregston's parenting seminars. For a list of upcoming events, go to parentingtodaysteens.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Judge Brett Kavanaugh was filled with rage and righteous anger during yesterday's testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And rightfully so. Democrats have destroyed this good man's name and character. They destroyed his family. We may never know exactly why, but there is speculation it may have been payback for his work on Ken Starr's staff or maybe his position on abortion. Democrats vowed to fiercely protect the right of a woman to kill her unborn child. So if they have to sacrifice a Catholic man like Judge Kavanaugh, so be it. I watched as this man testified before the nation, his face racked with pain and anguish. His voice cracked many times as he spoke of his father and his daughters. And I found myself in my office at Fox News weeping with Judge Kavanaugh. What have we done, America? What have we become that we would allow such evil to befall a good and decent man? I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
When this allegation first arose, I welcomed any kind of investigation, Senate, FBI, or otherwise. The committee now has conducted a thorough investigation, and I've cooperated fully. I know that any kind of investigation, Senate, FBI, Montgomery County Police, whatever, will clear me. Listen to the people I know. Listen to the people who have known me my whole life. Listen to the people I've grown up with and worked with and played with and coached with and dated and taught and gone to games with and had beers with. And listen to the witnesses who allegedly were at this event 36 years ago. Listen to Ms. Kaiser. She does not know me. I was not at the party described by Dr. Ford. This confirmation process has become a national disgrace. The Constitution gives the Senate an important role in the confirmation process, but you have replaced advice and consent with search and destroy. Since my nomination in July, There's been a frenzy on the left to come up with something, anything, to block my confirmation. Shortly after I was nominated, the Democratic Senate leader said he would, quote, oppose me with everything he's got. A Democratic senator on this committee publicly referred to me as evil. Evil. Think about that word. And said that those who supported me were, quote, complicit in evil. Another Democratic senator on this committee said, quote, Judge Kavanaugh is your worst nightmare. A former head of the Democratic National Committee said, quote, Judge Kavanaugh will threaten the lives of millions of Americans for decades to come.
And then he goes on to say, that's Brett Kavanaugh, senators, your words have meaning. Your words have meaning. And he said a lot more after that. If we have a chance, we'll play it. All right, Sandy Rios back with you. That was the hearing yesterday. I've said enough. I want to talk to you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Willie in Oklahoma. Good morning, Willie.
Yes, good morning to you. My statement was when they asked her how could she remember in detail, and she gave such a smart alecky, arrogant answer. Well, the chemicals in my brain are there to test, and so I can remember the vivid details, blah, 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 blah. And then we find out that the two questions that they asked were so generic, is any part of your statement false, or have you made up any part? They could ask, what do you like for dinner? You know, as far as those two questions was concerned. And then I remember several cases they would ask a psychologist or a psychologist how a guilty person could pass a lie detector test. And she's a psychologist herself, so she could very well easily know what to do to pass the test. And then it seems when they asked her what she said about her therapist, she said, I can't remember. She seemed to be suffering from convenient memory loss when it comes to details. And that was on like 7 weeks or several weeks ago or something like that. And so when they say she's credible and compelling, I don't see the credible part at all.
Well, I don't either. No, I don't either. And, you know, remember she said they were asking the attorney from Arizona, asked her if she had handed her records or her charts to the Washington Post reporter. And remember, I don't remember. I don't know if I handed the charts or just told them about it. And that was just, as you said, we're just talking about a few weeks ago at the most. And so, you know, we just found out this morning that, you remember Willie in her testimony, she makes a big deal about the two front doors on her house.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that part? And so she kind of lays the foundation of her story on that, this is when this came up. In 2012, we were remodeling our house, and I insisted on two front doors because that event traumatized me so much that I needed to make sure I could escape. And she said it several times. Okay, so now we found out this moring. Well, let me just finish. We found out this morning that according to the building permits in her area and on that house, the construction was done in 2008, not in 2012. So that in itself is just not true. Willie, what are your thoughts?
Well, also when she said she saw one of the perpetrators and he couldn't say anything to her and he got sick and she said she didn't know why he got sick. You know, well, she didn't remember then, you know, and why would she say hello to him if he was, you know, try to, you know, do an act against us? And plus I went through a traumatic experience myself and I could remember the experience, but I remembered something about a window, and I remembered something about a door, but the act itself I put out of my mind. So she seems to remember this reverse. She remembered the act, but she can't remember any of the details.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was all I had to say.
So, all right. Okay, Willie, so you don't think she's credible. I don't either, but I welcome anyone to join us who does. Oh, because I think as I watched her, 888-589-8840 is the number. As I watched her yesterday, it reminded me very much of that woman who appeared with, the attorney, the woman who Gloria Aldred, who brought forward this woman who charged Judge Moore, which I often go back to because I think there's a lot of similarities here. Remember how she gave her testimony? She was all dressed up, and she talked about how Judge Moore tried to rape her after she got off work at, in this restaurant. Remember that? And it was so she was like reading the statement, and she was a lot like Christine Ford. And, and I'm telling you, maybe women, maybe we have more of a sniffometer for women's, just pretending and acting. Do we? Or did any of you women really fall for Christine Ford? I don't know. Certainly the senators seem to, or at least they didn't dare say they didn't. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to Charlinda in somewhere. Hi, Charlinda. How are you this morning?
Hi, I'm fine, Sandy. How are you?
Good, good. What did you think, Charlinda?
I think that this is a pathetic, pathetic thing for them to do. Sandy, my heart is broken for Judge Kavanaugh. But I want to tell you what, God can restore his good name. Because God knows, God sees, God will take care of this. And I would hate to be the left standing before him on the judgment day. But I think God was in that room with Brett Kavanaugh yesterday. And while my heart broke for him, I saw Jesus Christ standing there beside him. And I think that he is a fine, fine man. And I think that he's going to be confirmed to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And it will be with honor and with dignity and with God's glory going around him. And I pray today while they take that vote that Jesus Christ protects him, that angels are all around him. Because what Satan intends for evil, God will turn to good.
Yep. Charlinda, very good. Thank you. Very good perspective. I want to say to you that the plan today, according to the left, is that if Kavanaugh should make it through this process, they want to come after him with criminal charges and to impeach him. That's what the left is talking about. They want to take back the House and then start proceedings to impeach him and, of course, among other people. So just so you know, they're not quitting. I mean, just because... I think Judge Kavanaugh was exonerated, although Senator Jeff Flake, in a conversation after it, said, no, actually, when he gave his statement during the hearing, said, we'll never know the truth. I was sort of offended by that. I actually think we are pretty close to knowing the truth. Doesn't our word have something to do with our character and the way we've lived our lives? You know, I remember in Scripture, because I've tried to live this, that we live in such a way that we outlive the horrible things that people might say about us, that our lives themselves are silence the naysayers. And I think that Judge Kavanaugh certainly was a great example of that yesterday. All right, let me go to Terrence in Texas. Good morning, Terrence in Texas. How are you this morning?
I'm doing excellent, Sandy. How are you?
Good. All right, so what did you think?
Sandy, I just have 2 points really quickly. The judicial system and the law is being made a mockery of. As I saw the trial, Judge Kavanaugh stated it that the whole thing was a mockery. First of all, the burden of proof. There need be no burden of proof because this is not even a trial or a case. So what are we really talking about? He's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. There is no proof. Everything she's saying is just hearsay. This can't even make it to a real courtroom. Secondly, if this same standard would be given to that whole judiciary committee that it's in there, then we have to go back in all of their lives when they were teenagers, and none of them would be qualified to stand there to accuse him. It makes no sense. It's like going back in history and saying, okay, this person may have done something, so now for what they did their whole adult life, it doesn't matter because someone said they did something as a teenager. It is just ridiculous. I was watching it and I had to turn it off because it made no sense. I was like, why are we here? Democrats, Republicans, the whole thing is just a waste of taxpayers' money. This have nothing to do with anything happening to that woman. If something happened to her, she really doesn't know what happened to her. Because everyone who she calls, no one is corroborating her story. And so therefore, it would have never been a legal case, and it doesn't hold water in any sensible court system. So, I mean, like, why are we here? That's the real question.
Yeah, Terrence, excellent, excellent points, and thank you for making them. It's true that nothing that she has alleged has been affirmed by anyone. Not a single person that she claims is at the party. Not a single person she's mentioned. All of them, including her friend, her so-called friend, has said, I don't remember that. I was not there. I never saw Brett Kavanaugh do that. They have said it's not just one person. It's everyone that Christine Ford has mentioned. Brett Kavanaugh goes on later to say, I didn't actually think this was clear enough, that he did not know Christine Ford. He said it's possible that our paths may cross, but we did not. He had a certain group of friends. He lists them. He has detailed calendars where he talks about his friends and labels who's where and what they're doing. It's just, honestly, he's an incredible person. And Christine Ford is not part of that. There is just no reason, really, to believe her. I thought it was interesting as she kept musing. Did anybody remember hearing her say that, it's my beach friends. My beach friends are the ones that suggested that I call, the Washington Post, or I didn't want to go to the media. And the question was, well, why didn't you? You said you were going to contact the New York Times. We have an email right here. Why did you contact them? No. Why didn't you? Well, I didn't want to go to the media. But she went to the Washington Post and spilled everything with her name after saying she didn't want her name to be known. You see how this goes. Yeah. All right. So let me go to Roy in Texas. Good morning, Roy.
Oh, sorry. I had you on speakerphone.
That's all right.
I just want to let you know that I love your show. Okay? I listen to you every morning on the way to work.
Thank you.
I didn't hear Dr. Ford's testimony. I wasn't able to tune in until later on that afternoon, but I did get in right when Brett Kavanaugh was giving his opening statement. And I want you to know, for him, some of the things that he brought out that I had no idea he did was like the calendars. I mean, obviously that said a lot in his, in the evidence that, he wasn't even around when this went on. And for them to bring it up 36, 37 years later, especially since he's already been a federal judge and he's been going through all this, and now they're all of a sudden they want to bring this stuff up. I mean, the FBI is not going to investigate a state charge unless the state asks them to come in and help them, for one thing. The other thing is, it's past the time frame for them to be able to test to do anything about it. So why waste those resources on a dead end when there's no evidence?
Roy, what you're referring to, just so we can explain this, is they're constantly, I wish I could count the times, the Democratic senators accused Brett Kavanaugh and the Republicans of not wanting an FBI investigation, inferring that this, if you really were telling the truth, you would. Dick Durbin was the one who really drilled out on that to Brett Kavanaugh. And the thing that's not clear to people is that the FBI has already done six thorough investigations of Brett Kavanaugh through the years that he's been in public service. And the second thing that they kept trying to say, I'm not sure was ever clear, is that the FBI is tasked with doing exactly what the Senate is doing. That is interviewing the witnesses. The FBI doesn't declare guilt or innocence. They just gather reports on what people say, which is what the Senate committee is doing. Everyone has made a statement under oath. In fact, Mark Judge just sent another note this morning. That's Kavanaugh's dear friend. He kept coming up, not his high school friend. His name kept coming up in the hearing, and he wrote an additional note this morning it's a sworn statement, which means he can be punished by law if it's a lie. And he said, again, I've already said, I never saw Brett do anything like this. I wasn't at this party. And he said, the reason I'm not testifying is because he's basically, he didn't say this, but others explained that he is an alcoholic and also a cancer survivor and has had a real struggle emotionally. And he's now under such a white hot light that his psychiatrist is suggesting he leave the area because it's too hard on him. He's too fragile to testify, but he's given two sworn statements. So the FBI, that's exactly what they would do. They would get sworn statements from Mark Judge. They get sworn statements from the other people allegedly at the party. That's exactly what the committee is doing. What's happening is that the Democrats are using that as a smokescreen. They're trying to delay the vote today and the vote next week. That's what that's all about. Roy, thank you. Got to take a break. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Recently, tech titans have sought to minimize the access people have to conservative content. But what we've seen so far is just the beginning. At an off-the-record event where the usual regressive media suspects were gathered, Mark Zuckerberg announced Facebook will dial up the intensity of its efforts to minimize access to, quote, controversial political content, end quote. Any wonder as to what type of content Zuckerberg deems to be controversial?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Winston Churchill accurately described Islam as the, quote, most retrograde force in the world, end quote. More evidence comes from a dilapidated compound in New Mexico where 11 children were found in squalid conditions. Authorities say the man who ran the compound, Siraj ibn Wahaj, was an extremist of the Muslim belief. Evidence is now emerging that he was training the children in the compound to carry out shootings in American schools. Wahaj's grandfather is an imam at an extremist mosque here in America who is an unindicted co-conspirator in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. In Europe, between 2014 and 2017, minors under the age of 18 were involved in 34 terrorist plots. What is clear is that it's no longer just Muslim adults we need to keep an eye on.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
I'm a widow. I've worked for a bank for 31 years, and I've been retired now for 10 years.
Myrtle Norris comments on her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I had a lot of financial questions, and Dan Celia was, he answered my questions, and he helped me with a lot of decisions that I made. And then the charitable gift came up, and he explained that to me. I decided to get it, and I'm sure glad I did, because I know now that money is in a place that I know God wants it to be, and also get my monthly income from it. I believe in the AFA and what they're doing, because they're working for us.
Learn how the AFA Foundation can work for you. You can contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, on our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. Thank you for supporting the American Family Association.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. It remains to be seen whether the hearing in which Judge Brett Kavanaugh and a woman who accused him of sexual assault in high school transfixed the nation proves to be a tipping point, or alternatively, whether it will turn out to be just another appalling milestone along the path that another distinguished jurist who is subjected to similar ritual defamation, Judge Robert Bork, famously called slouching toward Gomorrah. My fervent prayer is that for the sake of our great republic, this honing fire will produce one of the greatest Supreme Court justices ever. Based on Judge Kavanaugh's extraordinarily distinguished and productive 12-year record on the bench to date, that would probably be the case even without it. But please, God, let his confirmation now be swift and have it bring finally to an end the politics of personal destruction in America. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
As a federal judge, you're aware of the jury instruction, falsus in unibus, falsus in omnibus. Are you not? You're aware of that jury instruction?
Yeah, I am.
You know what it means.
You can translate it for me, Senator. You can do it better than I can.
False in one thing, false in everything, meaning in jury instructions that we, some of us as prosecutors, have heard many times, is told a jury that they can disbelieve a witness if they find him to be false in one thing. So the core of why we're here today really is credibility. Let me talk.
The core of why we're here is an allegation for which the four witnesses present have all said it didn't happen.
Let me ask you about Renata Dolphin.
All right, I have to say, that is Senator Richard Blumenthal, and you have to just understand what just happened there. So here's Richard Blumenthal. Now, I'll tell you about him first, and then I'll talk about what he asked. Mr. Blumenthal spent years as a senator bragging about his service in Vietnam. He even made up stories about things that happened to him. And then finally, it was revealed that he never served in Vietnam. In fact, he got at least five military deferments so he wouldn't have to serve actively in Vietnam. So that lie was exposed so roundly. So then Mr. Blumenthal is turning to Brett Kavanaugh and saying, sir, you know what falsus in uno, falsus in omnibus means? Like false in one thing, false in everything. How ironic. And if we went down the table to talk about the hypocrisy of the senators as they ask questions of Brett Kavanaugh, it would be jaw-dropping. But again, we can't do that. All right, let me now quickly go to Janet in Texas. Good morning, Janet.
Yes. I did not hear all of her testimony, but I heard enough to know what, and the things I didn't hear I got to pick up from other news clips. The thing of it is, Ms. Ford, you've heard of fuzzy math. I think she has fuzzy memory. And I will say this about all of her testimony. When a person has trauma, and I have counseled with a girl, she had some trauma. And I know of another lady had trauma. You don't forget what happened. It is there because it was so devastating. You remember the details. Yes, you do. You may want to put them out of your memory, but it doesn't escape the truth. And I called my Senator Cornyn and Senator Cruz, and I said, we need Judge Kavanaugh. We need him right on our U.S. Supreme Court. If any of all of this has done anything, it is proven and shown the character of Judge Kavanaugh. And he is fit, extremely fit, because he has nothing to hide. He has witnesses to back him up. And a person of his character is what we need on our U.S. Supreme Court. And his previous experience proves that. And, yes, I cried yesterday because when his little girl, when he acknowledged his little girl, prayed and said, told his, her sister, said, we need to pray for that woman. Well, you know, I used to teach children at church, and I was interviewed because of my teaching to them. And I told this lady that interviewed, I said, you know, it all starts at home. And that's where it started with Brett Kavanaugh, with his mom and dad. And now he's doing the same thing for his children, bringing them up in a godly Christian atmosphere to honor God and to honor truth. And Brett Kavanaugh, he has nothing to hide, and he told the truth because he stood before God and acknowledged the Lord God that he was telling the truth.
Yep.
And I will share with you this. There's two scripture verses.
Quickly, Janet, if you Proverbs would, because we have a lot of people.
Yeah, Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And also Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.
Excellent, Janet, thank you. Let me just say that Janet contacted her senators, and that brings me to a practical point here. Now, the hearing starts in an hour and 40 minutes. It's 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. And this is the vote. Did I say hearing? I meant the vote will take place in the Judiciary Committee. There are 11 Republicans and 10 Democrats. The 10 Democrats will all vote no. That's why yesterday was kind of silly, because they had already made up their minds. They've said they'll stop Kavanaugh at any cost. And we can see that they're actually willing to do that. So the person in play here is Senator Flake, at least for the vote this morning. Senator Flake is sort of kibbutzing with Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. They're all good buddies. Senator Flake is still not sure. He's just not sure. He said yesterday during his brief statement that we could never know the truth about this. Well, really? See, I disagree with that. So Senator Flake is person in question. But then, of course, everyone will vote on Tuesday. As I understand it now, Joe Manchin is hinting he will vote for Kavanaugh, but he hasn't said that. Also, we don't know about those red state Dems. There's the guys in Indiana. But the Republicans are the ones that are in play. If the Republicans stay together, Brett Kavanaugh will be confirmed. And that would mean Lisa Murkowski, Ben Sasse, Jeff Flake. So if you want to get in touch with your senator, well, I want you to, okay? Could I just encourage you to do that? Just go to Senate.gov, Senate.gov, G-O-V. We'll put that on our Facebook page, and you can find your senator easily. And you can get right away, you can get some message to them this morning. Just a little interesting side note, Alyssa Milano, the actress, was in the courtroom yesterday. You could see her as you look at the screen, on the left side of Brett Kavanaugh, beautiful girl. She was invited by Dianne Feinstein. I have to tell you that when Kavanaugh was telling the story about his daughter, I think Alyssa Milano was crying. Tears, that's my look. I don't know. I was watching like you were watching. And there was a Democratic senator sitting on his left, as you look at the screen, a blonde female who started crying herself and then ended up leaving. I know that because my friend Tom Fitton took her place. And so I'm just telling you, that story and Brett's whole affect, his godly presentation, God, as I've said, why do I start the show? God hasn't called us to be nice. Brett was not so nice. He called out the process. He said it was like a circus. He shamed the senators on both sides. He defended himself and talked about his own record, which in some circles wouldn't be nice. And then he talked of his mercy toward Christine Ford, his accuser. I believe that what Brett exampled for us was Jesus and the heart of God and how we respond. We fight. We speak the truth. We show mercy. All of those things. All right, I want to go back to your calls. Let's go to Leon in Virginia. Good morning, Leon.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Sandy?
God bless. I'm good.
I watched it. We were praying, interceding the whole time. And one thing I picked up on was her voice. Somebody cannot talk like that all day long unless they're being coached to talk like that.
Yeah, I agree.
It was almost to the point where it became very disturbing. And so the senators, of course, were being so very careful. So it was easy for her to play off and be the victim because of that voice. It set the whole tone for her testimony. One of the things reminds me of Solomon, who two women had a baby, and of course one woman stole the baby, but he couldn't tell right off the bat whose baby it was until he said, "Let me just kill the baby." So the woman whose baby it was says, "No, don't kill it, give it to her." And the other one says, "No, kill it." So he was able to discern. And I want to remind the body of Christ about this gift of discernment, that when we do see what it is, it is what it is. And there was no way that her testimony was credible. So much lapse in memory. The very witnesses that they did have all said that they were not there. They don't remember it. So it's a lot of things. And with the daughter praying for the woman, that's when God broke in.
Yes,
He broke in. He
I know.
Broke in because they had bars up all around that hearing. Yeah. But when that was said, He broke in. So the real tears came from Kavanaugh, not from Ford. And yeah. I'm going to stop right there so you can just go ahead and take it from there. But God bless you. We love you.
Leon, I don't know what to say. You just spoke the truth. I agree with you. And I think that reference to Solomon is just a sober reminder, because sometimes Christians we can't know, or we don't think we can. And we're divided on our feelings about certain things or how we see certain things. And I do believe, like you, that it is possible for God to make things very clear. I have to question myself. I felt right away that, based on what I know about Christine Ford, that she had scrubbed all of her social media. Why would you do that if you didn't have something to hide? That she, flew out and submitted to a polygraph test, that she said she was afraid of flying and complained that the Senate had, that was so hard for her to come to D.C. to testify. But now we know she flew all over the place. She loved to go to the beach. She flew to a lot of islands. She flew to Hawaii to do business. There's just so much. So I don't believe her. I don't. But sometimes I have to be very careful that my strong opinions don't overtake what really is true. We need to have the heart of God to discern that. All right, I need to stop talking and listen to you. Let's go to Rebecca in Texas. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
Good. Quickly, if you can, Rebecca.
I'll try to be brief. I agree with what the gentleman said. I think Jesus himself said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And
yes.
I think somewhere in the Bible it also says that a little child will lead them. I thought that's very pertinent to, because I agree wholeheartedly. God broke in when Kavanaugh mentioned his daughter praying for Ms. Ford. Did anybody else notice? I was watching as Mrs. Ford gave her testimony very carefully how the Democratic senators couched their questions. But each one of them started off by intentionally using words and saying things that would evoke emotion from Mrs. Ford. And I noticed that at the point where they got her to cry, that's when they changed their wording to more political stuff. But in the beginning, it almost seemed apparent that they were attempting to evoke emotion from her so she would cry.
Interesting.
And then once they got her to cry, then they started with their other stuff. That's my first point. My second point is I think Kavanaugh did a fantastic job. His opening was remarkable. I wish that he would have, I know he was exhausted, but I wish he would have taken the last few minutes when Grassley gave him the opportunity to have any last statements. But if he would have said in his opening remarks, he mentioned three senators in that room who had said ugly things about him, called him evil on television. And I would have, you know, because I'm Texan and we've got grit. I would have loved for him to say, you know, to look at these people and say, you've said these things about me publicly. Do you stand by those statements? Are you willing to look me, my wife, my mother, and my father in the eye right now, right here, and repeat what you said? Are you willing to look me in the eye and tell me now that I'm evil? Can you look my parents in the eye and tell me that I'm evil? That's yeah. All I have to say.
Yeah. Okay, Rebecca. Very well said. You said it well. Let's go to Buddy in Texas. Buddy, quickly, if you can, please.
Hello?
Yes, quickly, Buddy, if you can.
I'm very sorry. Thank you for taking my call. But why doesn't the president sign an executive order if this person or persons wants to destroy somebody for life? Why can't they fill out a penalty that they go to prison for life?
Well, it's not that simple, Buddy. It's not the way our system works, because we have to be tried by a group of our peers in order to be convicted of that. But I agree with you. Something should happen. I think the president has done what he can. Yesterday, the Democrats tried very hard to lay this whole thing around the president's neck, that it was his fault. He didn't want the truth. He didn't want an FBI investigation. That's just not true. It's not on his purview. This is the Senate. This is the Senate's job, and they're the ones calling the shots on this. Let me thank you so much, Buddy. Let's go to Maryland in Texas. Maryland, quickly, if you can.
Yes, I was riveted to this American tragedy yesterday. Riveted. I watched all of it, and I just prayed fervently that his righteous anger would show through with no corroboration against him. And I think it did, and we just need to pray for the people voting now.
Yeah, and also call them. Yes, absolutely, Marilyn, absolutely, because thank you very much. In fact, let me just remind you that this is not over. We did see God reveal himself, and that's, I can't tell you how encouraged. I had to ask God to forgive me for the first half. I was upset with God. I said, Lord, we prayed, and he's just been buried. And then in the second half, it completely reversed when God filled that courtroom, but it's not over. The Judiciary Committee vote is this morning at 10:30. Senate.gov, to let your senators know how you feel about it, Senate.gov. And also then the general vote should take place Tuesday. But listen, there's nothing they won't do to stop it, including violence. And so we need to continue to pray. It's not going to be a short battle. It's going to be a long war. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.